Number one for breaking news for Vernon, Farmington, and South Windsor. The Talk of Connecticut. AM 1360 and FM
103.3. All righty. You know, one of the discussions that we had last month with our next guest, or I should say our first guest this morning into the Daly Connerton Memorial Company interview chair, was bridging the gap among Republicans. You know, I've said this many a times, and I've said that all shades of red are welcome under the Republican tent. That there's so few of us, we're outnumbered, that we can't be start being, you know, too choosy. You know, maybe certain southern states, you know, can do that. Well, you know, you're this rhino, you're this, blah, 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 blah. We don't want to have you, because there's an abundance of them, you know, where they outnumber Democrats in some of these southern states. We need everybody. We need all shades. Whether you're a moderate or whether you're considered ultra-conservative, I don't even know if that's even a term, but I've heard it. You're welcome here. You know, we need you. But we don't need you just in name or numbers. We need you to vote. We need you to get out there and vote in November because that's something that Republicans are known not to do. Although, I will say, we do have a presidential election coming up. So, yeah, more Republicans do come out on the presidential years. But even then, not all of them. Good morning. It's Gary Byron, 7-Eleven here on this Monday morning. Glad to have you on board the old morning train. Our first guest into the Daly Connerton Memorial Company interview chair is the president of the Connecticut Young Republicans. And yes, there's young Republicans enough where they can organize and get together and elect a president.
I love that.
He joins us every month, more towards the end of every month. Let's welcome back to the show, Ken Langille. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Oh, peachy. Are you kidding me? On a day like today, it's got to be peachy. How are you?
Yeah. Lovely weather we've had coming back.
Yes. I'm digging it. You know, I really enjoyed our conversations a lot last month, and it sparked a lot of conversation after you got off and we went to open phones. Someone even had said, maybe even more recently, and we kind of debated this, of course, friendly, you know, in a friendly manner. The state of the Connecticut Republican Party, and maybe to some extent, even on the national level, I know that there's a new chairperson of the Lara Trump there of the RNC, but even on the state side, the debate was: Does this party need to be rebranded, or does the party have a messaging issue where, and maybe a unity issue?
Well, I certainly think as a group, we've done a better job of coming together, and this is one of those moments, and especially with the polling statistics going on right now, where Republicans are coming together, but I think really the unifying factor is the total dislike of where this country is heading right now. You look at the economic statistics, you look at the issues with crime, with immigration, and it's clearly out of control. 37% of voters have said inflation is going to be their largest aspect on how they judge the economy right now. And I know the Democrats like to run around and say, oh, the economy's the best it's ever been. That's why you're paying $4 for a gallon of gas right now. Mm-hmm. But it is very clear that inflation is playing on the mind of Americans, because even though salaries, yes, they've been going up, especially for job hoppers, but even for people who've been staying in their jobs, you've been getting increases. But the problem is those increases have not been keeping up with inflation. Even those who have 401ks or, you know, the various stock market plans that you can have, 14% of Americans have said, oh, my salary is going to determine what I think of the economy. Even less, 3% have said the stock market's going to determine. right now, what's on the mind of the majority of Americans when it comes to the economy is inflation. And without a significant reduction in that, you're going to have this continued. And I know President Biden, the Democrats like to say, oh, you know, the economy is as bad as we think. It's just, you know, we see the articles all the time from the left-leaning papers, you know, oh, why are Americans so sour on the economy? It's actually doing pretty well. Nobody's buying that lie anymore. Nobody's buying the economy is doing so well, that's why I got to pay all this money. It is very clear there are issues going on, and the worse it gets more towards November, and we see what's going on in Gaza right now, we see what's going on, just all these different world effects that are going to have effects on things like the price of gasoline, the price of our grocery bills. It's only getting worse.
Yeah. They're all interlinked, aren't they?
They are. And that's, you know, what a lot of people don't understand is, you know, really how interlinked everything is. It's, you know, no one thing in our world operates in a vacuum. Everything is tied together. And even in terms of the stock market, you've seen that little dip it's taken lately because, you know, companies are planning right now for a recession pretty much post-election. Like, they won't say it out loud. It's kind of this open secret that the economy is being propped up until November. You know, no president's going to allow their economy to slide if they, you know, God willing, they can help it. But
there is an old
companies are planning for it.
There's an old saying that people vote with their wallet. Is that more true this year, or is the open border or the wars that are going on throughout our globe, are those also deciding factors as far as who they're voting for this November?
Well, that's where you start to see the split between voters. In terms of those who are on the Republican side, the biggest issue certainly is the economy. On the Democrat side, and this is where... this is ultimately why I think Joe Biden is still in the race and why I think if anyone else but President Trump were running against him, he would not be in the race anymore. Get the statistic, Gary. 67% of Democrats are still siding with President Biden under the terms of, and you'll love this language, saving democracy.
Saving
basically
democracy.
Basically what they're saying is 7 out of 10 Democrats hate President Trump so much that they are willing to just completely ignore everything and vote for Biden. But the other side of that coin is, and this goes back to the Republican side, 55% of voters now view, and this is general voters, not just Republicans, general voters view President Trump's first term as a success now. When he left office, it was 55% thought it was a failure. So you've seen this certain, you know, gap over these last 4 years play out where people, you know, I think, you know, especially because we were in the middle of COVID, they looked at it and they're like, oh, wow, this is crazy. You know, maybe things didn't go so well. And all of a sudden we're here four years later and people are paying it out of the nose. And even though, yeah, we're, you know, we're making more money than we ever have and the stock market's doing better than it ever has. But you go around and ask the average American how they think the economy is doing, and they all think it's doing terribly.
Well, yeah. I mean, just look around you. Look what I went and got gas on Friday. I was like, oh my goodness, I think it went up 30 cents, I think, just from the previous Friday. You know, you go into the grocery store, whether you're buying groceries or any items, you know, at any retail outlet, you're paying significantly higher today than you did just 1 year ago today. You know, I don't have to go back 3 years or the beginning of the Biden administration. No, let's just go back 12 months. I mean, doesn't this...
7 out of 10 Americans agree with you, Gary. They are not happy with the state of the economy right now.
But yet, you know, you'll still hear, Biden supporters. You know, you'll hear of Biden supporters. And people will still say Biden's got a heck of a chance of winning in November. And they'll also say it's less about pro-Biden and more about anti-Trump. Are you hearing that as well?
I am, exactly. And it goes back to that last statistic I quoted, that 67% of Democrats are going to vote for Biden, quote-unquote, save democracy. And it goes to show you how they will, you know, it's the old saying, vote blue no matter who. There is basically a segment of that party that says, you know what, we don't care how the country's doing. It could be down in flames. We're voting blue no matter who. And here's where it gets interesting, Gary. 81% of voters under 35 disapprove how President Biden is handling the issues in Israel and Gaza right now. And that is a huge Achilles heel to him. And I'm going to give you another statistic that's going to scare the hell out of them. Among young voters, once again, that 35 and under block, President Trump is actually leading him right now, 51 to 40. And that is being largely driven by young voters who did not vote in 2020. When you remove those voters from those statistics, it's about even. It's about 47, 46. But you add in this whole chunk of new voters who are motivated because, you know, they've graduated college. They, you know, can't find a well-paying job, or if they do, they're getting squeezed on both sides when it comes to rent, when it comes to groceries, when it comes to transportation. And they're saying, these 4 years of Biden don't work. How am I supposed to build a family? How am I supposed to buy a home? Which right now, you look at the median price of a home and, you know, how much interest rates have shot up. You know, pretty much mortgage payments have doubled over the last 4 or 5 years to what it is now, where, you know, the old practice used to be, you know, oh, I'd graduate college, I'd get a good job, and I'd start saving for a starter home, and I'd have a starter home by 30. Well, now people are either having to wait until their mid-30s to buy that starter home, or they're skipping the line altogether when it comes to starter homes and finding ways to extremely safe.
All right, Ken, I gotta take a break here. Just let me ask you one quick question, and then I gotta take a break, and we'll come right back to you. Are you saying, am I understanding you correctly? Are you saying that there are more college age kids or adults, really, actually, that are gonna vote Trump? Did I understand that?
35 under, so it's the young portion of the economy.
All right, right? So they're not necessarily college age. They're just 35 and younger. Okay, stay right there, Ken. I'm going to come right back. More with Ken Langill right after this.
Elevate your legacy with Daley Connerton Memorial Company. Introducing Daley Connerton Monuments, where dreams take shape in stone. Immerse in custom craftsmanship, where every chisel stroke narrates a tale. Transform memories into magnificent monuments while you cherish the past, celebrate the present, and immortalize your story in granite and marble. Let Daley Connerton carve your vision into reality, creating iconic monuments that stand as a testament to your legacy. Call Daley Connerton, 860-242-4133. Daley Connerton, where memories live forever.
Honey, what are you doing?
I'm getting my brushes and paints together.
Why?
Lots of painting needs to be done.
The painting you started 2 years ago? Let's just call Casanova Remodeling. That's what they do. We get expert painting, you get the time off, and then we'll have Casanova do our siding.
That was next on my list.
I think you deserve a break, and we deserve the best quality in painting and siding.
There's nothing like a fresh coat of paint. It's like a new beginning. And from vinyl siding to cedar shakes, Casanova Remodeling will make sure the job is done right. CasanovaRemodeling.com.
A smarter way to start the day. Gary Byron and the Talk of Connecticut. Listen without a subscription on the Talk of Connecticut free listening app.
23 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock, our guest is the president of the Connecticut Young Republicans, Ken Langill. Ken, you know, saving democracy, you hear that a lot from young Americans. Abortion, that's always a big hot topic, even when it's not even an issue. That's their favorite go-to. I'm talking about, you know, the Democrat Party. Saving democracy and saving abortion. Well, I mean, saving abortion is not even an issue. It's a state's issue right now. Democracy. I think we're losing democracy with Biden. That's why I call that ironic. And we're preserving democracy, if anything, with Trump. But why is the Republican Party allowing Democrats to control the narrative? Why are the Republicans always on the defensive, defending itself, as opposed to grabbing the bull by the horns and controlling the narrative by being on the offensive rather than the defensive?
Well, I think certainly it has to deal with, we're not all totally on the same page. And you're seeing that play out nationally, and you're seeing that play out locally. And, you know, this is one thing that the Democrats have always been very good at. They will have their squabbles behind closed doors, but typically when they come out into the public, they are very much, you know, the five fingers make the fist, where the Republican side, unfortunately, we've tended to see our squabbles, you know, pour into public view a lot. And when that happens, it gives control to the Democrats. The Democrats can just go on, you know, MSNBC and say, oh my God, the Republicans are out of control. Did you see what happened today in you know, Congress or this state legislature? This is why we have to keep these people out of power. And this is why, once again, it goes back to that, pardon my French, this BS term of saving democracy, where, you know, pretty much this side has been kind of, I won't say brainwashed, but has been, you know, they're clinging to this idea of, oh my God, if anyone but the Democrats run this country, we're going to be, you know, going down the tubes soon, where, you know, the majority of voters don't hold that. And certainly the independent voters are taking a look at what's going on around us right now. And some other concerning statistics, you know, when it comes to personal finance, you know, in terms of how, you know, your average American is doing, 53% are not happy with their personal finances right now. Even more concerning for Democrats, 67% of low-income earners are not happy with their personal finances, and 64% of minorities are not happy with their personal finances. You're seeing these big holes in the data right now, which are very concerning if I'm President Biden, because these are groups that were solidly behind me 4 years ago, where all of a sudden now, they're starting to splinter and say, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to vote for you. Now, when it comes to November, you know, maybe they've done a good enough job to shore up their base, and maybe they've scared enough people into coming to their side. But if things stay like this, and we're just getting into the summer now, can you imagine what gas prices are going to look like in July and August, Gary?
Oh, yeah, right after Memorial Day. Yeah, about a month from now.
It's going to be a disaster. And at that point, you're still talking about everything going up, because that's what I think people forget about the gas prices. Yes, you know, you get that sticker price when you're, you know, filling up your own car, but need that resource in order to ship goods around the country. So you're going to see that reflected at the grocery store. You're going to see that reflected, you know, when you go to the big box stores to buy, you know, technology.
Then
you're going to see this play out over the summer.
Then, Ken, what does the Republican Party need to do right now at the end of April, where there's still plenty of time to get it accomplished? What is it? What should we be working on right now to procure victory in November?
We need to be identifying these, you know, not just young voters, but these dissatisfied independents, yes. And when it comes to Democrats, there aren't a ton of them that are going to run away from Biden. It's unfortunate. It's just how he is. It's still, you know, 73% of Democrats still think the Biden presidency has been a success.
including the open border? Because when you say you approve Biden, that means you approve his policies. How can
exactly.
This just look around you, and how can anybody? I'm trying to look at this objectively. I'm not even looking at this from Republican eyes. I'm trying to look at this as pretty objective eyes. Just how can anybody look around, whether from the economic standpoint with inflation or the border crisis, and say, "Oh yeah, you're doing a heck of a job there, Mr. Prez." How?
It goes to show you on their side how locked down they have their voter block is. We're on the verge of World War III. You know, he could pretty much do anything at this point and still stay above 65% with the Democrats, because unfortunately they view the opposite side as greater evil. You know, hey, my guy could be up there and, you know, his failures are because of incompetence, where, you know, I view the Republicans as evil.
I've only got a couple of seconds left. If he's got the Democrats and you're saying that he's got a majority of the independents, are you saying game over for Trump and the Republicans?
No, not at all. He's got the Democrats locked down, but believe me, the independents are leaving him in droves.
Okay. All right. I'm happy to hear that. Ken Langille, president of the Connecticut Young Republicans. Great job this morning. Thank you for your time. And we will do it towards the end of May. How does that sound?
Sounds terrific. Thanks for having me on.
You got it, brother. All right. When we come back, it's open phones. I see one line open. Yes, it can be yours for the low
number
price.
One for breaking news for Vernon, Farmington, and South Windsor, the talk of Connecticut, AM 1360 and FM 103.3.
Our next guest into the Daily Connerton Memorial Company interview chair is proud to serve as the Republican National Committee woman for the state of Connecticut. Oh, my goodness. Since 2016, I didn't realize it went back that far. She was recently honored to be nominated by President Trump to be the U.S. ambassador to Chile. That was in 2019. I say recently. See, we're talking about this earlier. I think the older you get, something that's like 5 years old, to me, that's pretty recent.
Yeah.
I guess when you're younger, 5 years ago was like ancient history. That was a long, that was 5 years ago.
Half your life.
Well, if they're, yeah. If they're 10, I suppose you're right. Yeah. She was also the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate in 2022. Folks, you remember, because she used to come in, or if not come into the studio, we'd at least have her on every other Monday when she was actively running against Dick Blumenthal. This was, again, only 2 years ago for U.S. Senate. Good morning. It's Gary Byron, 8:11 here on this Monday. I'm so happy that you're with us. Let's welcome back into the Daily Connerton Memorial Company Interview Chair, Leora Levy. Leora, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being with us. I think the last time that you and I chatted, you had just returned from Israel. What month was that? January?
That was November.
Oh, my goodness.
Early December. I left on November 26th and returned on December 3rd.
That's right. Okay. So I didn't realize it was even longer than I thought. You were kind of painting a picture of what you would witness on a daily basis there.
Go ahead.
What I was going to ask you is if you've got friends and family there that are reporting any difference since you've left, what is the landscape look like now?
Well, since I do have friends and family there, and overall, the country is still very united on the need to completely defeat and eradicate Hamas. There are more demonstrations by the families of the hostages who have been hostages, who have to realize since October 7th, I think that's 206 days now, they are demonstrating for an agreement to get their loved ones back. And that's completely understandable. Unfortunately, the only people to make a deal with is Hamas. That's the only group to make a deal with, and they are a terrorist organization. They are diabolical, mm-hmm. They are cruel, and they are stringing this out for as long as they can.
But how long can they? Because from what I understand, they're using third world country ancient technology, where Israel has some of the most sophisticated weaponry that there is.
Yes, they do. But right now, Israel is being restrained by Joe Biden. Joe Biden, who needs votes from the Arab Americans in Michigan, is holding Israel back from completing the job, and that would entail going into Rafah.
Yeah, but I mean, Joe Biden talks out of both sides of his mouth. Go ahead.
Yes, he does. He started out very supportive, and I thank him for that. He went to Israel early on, right after October 7th. But the longer this has gone on, the less supportive of Israel he and Blinken have become. And it's really disgraceful, because Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. And Israel was attacked on October 7th by Hamas. Those who are calling for a ceasefire forget that there was a ceasefire on October 6th. And everything that has happened since in Gaza is on Hamas.
Yeah. When you hear Biden not only providing money to Israel, but also for humanitarian aid, quote unquote, for Palestinians, what comes to mind?
Well, look, nobody wants innocent civilians to suffer.
Of course
and
not.
The
but
reason
that's a...
that there has been any privation in Gaza is because of Hamas. Hamas has stolen the humanitarian aid for their own purposes. They've kept it from their own people. They use their own people as human shields. In fact, the United States is building a pier in order to deliver humanitarian aid from the sea in conjunction with Israel. This is Israel is doing as much as it can to get humanitarian aid to the Arabs in Gaza, the civilian Arabs. But Hamas attacked the pier.
You're right. Yes. What are when you hear that Hamas was provoked prior to October 6th, what do you think of? What are your thoughts on that?
Show me the proof. What provoked them? It was quiet. It was peaceful. There was a ceasefire, although what people don't know is that Hamas never stopped shooting rockets at the border communities in Israel. It was a normal occurrence. And in those communities, every playground, every school, almost every home that was built after a certain year, they all had their safe rooms and their shelters from rocket attacks. Unfortunately, on October 7th, those safe rooms and those shelters didn't protect them from actual terrorists who came in with grenades and guns and anti-tank missiles and with the intention to rape, pillage, plunder, burn, do whatever they could to destroy and kill.
How long do you anticipate this war lasting?
I don't know. I'm not into the military. I'm not part of this administration. I have no idea what the actual intelligence is. It will last as long as it takes for Israel to destroy Hamas. And if they were to be, if Biden would stop pressuring Israel not to go into Rafah and Israel could finish the job, it actually would be better for the Palestinians who live in Gaza because they would be free from Hamas. The other thing I would like to say is that the casualty numbers being released by the Hamas spokespeople are totally false. They inflate them. They want as many people to die as possible because it just makes it look worse.
Yeah, they'll get the sympathy from the world,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
And they include their terrorist fighters in the casualty numbers, in the civilian casualty numbers, which is totally false.
When you hear Biden giving money to terrorists, well, to Palestine, and I want to be clear that not all Palestinians are terrorists.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking
right.
Hamas and Hezbollah. These are the terrorist proxies
right.
through Iran that are the true terrorists. But do you feel a betrayal that he to Netanyahu? What do you think Netanyahu's position is towards the U.S. now? Have we done irrevocable damage to our ally and how we're perceived by them and our friendship and loyalty to each other?
Well, my answer is no. Israel always appreciates the support of the United States. Israel knows that we have a special relationship. But I want to correct one thing you said when you said when you talked about giving money to Palestine. There is no Palestine. There never has been a Palestine. There's never been a Palestinian state or nation. The word Palestine comes from the Roman word Palestina, which is what the Romans called the region when they ruled it, when they conquered it. And the British took that word for the area when they ruled it in the 20th century, in the first half of the 20th century. But when they spoke, when the British spoke about Palestinians, they talked about the Jews who lived there, not the Arabs. The Arabs were always the Arabs. And the Jews are the only people, the only nation that has had a continuous presence in the land for over 4,000 years.
You feel that Biden is pandering to them, for, you said, for votes that he needs in a swing state of Michigan.
Absolutely. But and you asked about betrayals.
Yeah.
The people who are being betrayed by U.S. money going to Hamas, going to assist Hamas and terrorism, and to the Palestinian Authority, which is in control of the Arabs in Judea and Samaria, the people being betrayed are the U.S. taxpayers. Those are our dollars, hard-earned dollars, that Biden is sending to terrorists. That's who's betrayed.
No one knows better than you, Leora, that the Democrats have been predominantly Democrat here in the U.S. Is that going to change this upcoming election cycle, or how loyal are they to the party?
You know, people are individuals. I think there are mainstream Democrats who agree with me, but there are, you know, progressive left-wing Democrats that have a very different point of view. And those are the Democrats who seem to be in control of the Democrat Party. I wonder, where are the mainstream Democrats who do love this country? I don't mean to say used to. There are mainstream Democrats who love this country. They just have a different way to help the country. They think they have different policy solutions than conservatives, than Republicans. And that's something we can disagree without being disagreeable and without calling each other names. But the progressive left wing of that Democrat Party is very extreme. And they, I really question their motives. A lot of what you're seeing, a lot of these demonstrations on the college campuses, well, all of them, they're being paid for primarily by George Soros money through his Open Society Policy Center.
Yes, I want to talk about that. I got to take a quick break here. We're going to transition. We're going to talk about the pro-Palestine rallies and anti-Semitism that are, it's just so pervasive on college campuses, with Leora Levy right after this.
It's the Lee's RVs in Ellington used motorhome madness sale. Buy a pre-owned and save tens of thousands off original MSRP. All makes and models, including Jayco, Winnebago, Chateau, Forester, Four Winds, and more. Get a free $250 parts gift card with your new RV. Enter to win a free Wi-Fi router. Bring it to adventure at Lee's Auto and RV Ranch and save thousands during the Lee's used motorhome madness sale. Still family owned. You deal direct with the owners. Lee'sAutoAndRV.com, Ellington.
Yankee Peddler and Pawn in East Hartford is Connecticut's premier pawn shop, paying you top dollar whether you are pawning or selling your items. It's also your first choice to find great deals on used items. Yankee Peddler and Pawn has everything from gold and silver jewelry to electronics, power tools, some musical instruments, and so much more. With nearly 200 five-star Google reviews, customer service is always their number one priority. Go see Joe at Yankee Peddler and Pawn at 7 Pitkin Street in East Hartford and tell them Gary sent you.
Never a dull moment. The Talk of Connecticut, 103.3 and 104.5, wants your opinion. Call 860-243-1360.
24 minutes after the hour of 8, our guest is Leora Levy. Leora, when you're seeing every night, whether it's local news or national news, these are rallies, and sadly, they're more than just protests or rallies that are going on these college campuses, really throughout our nation. And you see, or even hear, some of these students who are interviewed. I don't know if you're like me, but I shake my head and I go, do you even know what you're talking about? I wanted to get your feeling when you view these interviews and when you see these protests and the anti-Semitic rhetoric that's just more and more pervasive on these college campuses. What are your thoughts?
Well, this is finally coming to light. This has been percolating on the college campuses for decades. We have had a professoriate who is very radical and very anti-Israel, and it doesn't matter whether they are Middle East studies professors or chemistry professors. They have been indoctrinating our children, our college kids, for decades now to be anti-Semitic and anti-Israel. And what we're seeing now is a manifestation of that. It is also a confluence of all of this left-wing radical demonstrations. We saw it with the BLM and Antifa riots in 2020. We now see this. These are a lot of the same people organizing it. They now have pro-Palestinian students, and they have students who are of Arab background leading these protests, but they've all been trained and indoctrinated by Soros money, the Open Society, Policy Center, the Tide Center, the Center for Justice. These are all organizations that stem from Soros. There is also Rockefeller money that has been used for this, and a lot of the donations, people who are donating to these donations are being run through Act Blue, which is a Democrat Party low-dollar fundraising platform. It goes to their bail and legal defense fund through Act Blue.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with Act Blue, and I understand it's the Rockefeller Brothers Foundation that's providing a lot of the financing. And you mentioned George Soros. Is there any truth that any of our U.S. senators, Blumenthal or Murphy, is accepting money from George Soros?
I guess what we'd have, that is public information, and you could go look on their FEC report. So it's an easy question to answer. I have not looked at that, so I can't answer the question one way or the other. I know that both of them have close relationships with an organization called CARE. It is an Arab American organization that it was an unindicted co-conspirator a few years ago in a Sari al-Aryan terrorism case. Mm-hmm. And they have ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. And both Blumenthal and Murphy have ties to this organization.
Does that surprise you? Blumenthal is Jewish. Why would he have ties to an organization that's providing money for, you know... I guess towards the enemy.
You have to ask him.
Oh.
You have to ask him. If it were I would have nothing to do with them. And, you know, I have very different values and different. I hang out with different people, shall we say.
Yeah, sure. But when you see these rallies on TV, it's. How disheartening is it for you? Do you know any of these individuals? And have you yourself ever been scrutinized publicly or privately for your religious faith?
Well, I don't know anybody who's demonstrating now, obviously. I have no connections to these groups. I grew up in the South. I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina, at a time when there was quite a bit of prejudice. Sure. And as a young Jewish girl from Cuba... I experience a lot of anti-Semitism and anti-Hispanic sentiment also. At that time, kids were very, very cruel and mean, and they didn't like you if your family wasn't from the Old South and had fought for the Civil War. It has changed. It is not like that anymore. I have cousins there who live there. It's a very different place.
Yeah, I didn't know if you had neighbors or kids going off to college and you see them on the news and they're protesting, that maybe you saw grow up. Leora, thank you for your time. Thank you for your candor as well. And are you, really quickly, any trips to Israel you're planning anytime soon? I only have 5 seconds.
I would go in a heartbeat. I don't have any plans currently.
Gotcha. We'll get you back on here with us then. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us. All right, we're going to come right back to Open Phones, 860-243-1360. You are next.
Bide.com.
Number one for Vernon, Farmington, and South Windsor. The talk of Connecticut. AM 1360 and FM 103.3.
All right. I love it when our next guest into the Daily Connerton Memorial Comfort Interview Chair joins us. We served in the House together, and he fights for freedom, liberty, and justice. While I was fighting for justice and the American way. No, that was Superman that did that.
Yes, that was Superman.
Life, liberty, justice, and the American way. Let me put my cape away. Hold on one second. But here's the thing about him is that this guy has really created quite a following around the state. Even if you, whoever, regardless of who your state senator is or your state representative, he's become a listener favorite, and he does this for you. That's something. You know you're reaching people when they're not even your constituent. They can't even vote for you, but they just come up and say, thank you for doing all that you're doing. Good morning. It's Gary Byron, 9-11 here on this Monday morning. I'm so happy to have you aboard the old morning train. He's the ranking member on the Housing Committee, ranking member on Labor and Public Employees Committee, as well as the ranking member on the Judiciary Committee. And he really stands toe-to-toe with woke liberals for hours on end during the Senate debates over at the Capitol. And he often does it by himself. Let's welcome back State Senator Rob Sampson. Senator, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. And thank you so much for that very humbling and very generous introduction.
You've earned
it. There are a lot of other warriors doing what you and I have done in the past and what you do every day on the radio.
Listen, I mean, we all have our role to play, you know. If we're going to take back our state, if we're going to take back our country, then we've got to work in unison. You know, we got to work together on this.
Yes,
by the way, we've got to get you maybe into our studio sometime in June. You know, when this, I know the session's going to be over in about a week or so, and maybe we can talk extensively. You know, maybe get a lightning round with you or something like that. I think that'd be a lot of fun. We can get listeners to call up and ask you questions and have some fun here some morning.
That would be fabulous. I love to take listener questions. And, I'm counting the days till session is done. So,
now, that's not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, right? The 8th?
That's right. 9 more days.
Okay. So is this the most woke session that you've experienced?
Oh, that's a really good question. I don't know. It remains to be seen what they're actually going to try and move. I mean, there are probably more woke bills this session. You know, we have bills about how we need lactation consultants and massive expansions of DEI. And if I think about it, I can probably come up with some more. But it's been around for years, as you know. But it really depends on, you know, what bills they attempt to actually pass, because, you know, there's always a few lawmakers on the Democrat side that are kind of out there. You know, they put in crazy bills every year, so whether those bills get traction, that's the question.
And all the DEI stuff, diversity, equity, inclusion. I mean, even when I was with you, we didn't have that. I mean, we had bleeding heart liberals and you know, far left extremism. But the DEI, even wokeism wasn't even that pervasive when I was with you a few years ago. This DEI stuff, though, is insane. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, they have a bill, actually, that came out of the Labor Committee. It's Senate Bill 414, I think it is. It might be 415, one or the other. But it's a crazy bill. Not only is it expensive, because what they want to do is they want to effectively place a DEI director in every state agency. And the idea behind this is that this director is more or less going to be the second in command to every commissioner of every state agency. So, I mean, you know, those commissioners make a tremendous amount of money. These DEI directors are going to certainly make six figures plus benefits, et cetera. So it's going to be very expensive to put one in each one of those roles across the state. But their goal and the responsibility that they will have based on the bill that's been presented to us is that they will be effectively the gatekeepers for every policy decision made by that state agency to make sure it meets the woke standard. And when I say the woke standard, if you read through the bill, it's all about reparations. It's all about critical race theory. It is all about, steps beyond affirmative action. The most woke version of critical race theory is what they're trying to place as a mechanism within the state government bureaucracy. I battled that bill for quite a while in the Labor Committee, and honestly, it's one of the things I'm most proud of because, you can probably remember this, Gary, that any time, the subject of racism or the subject of, intolerance or even the word slavery is mentioned in the legislature, people tend to clam up because they don't want to be engaged in the conversation because, the left, let's face it, they use it as a hammer and they try and bully people by scaring them that they're going to be called a racist or something. Mm. So I just stood right up to them and I told them, I said, you guys, are the ones pushing the discriminatory language here, not me. And I think I made a good case.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it, because I would imagine obtaining a job based on your merit, your education, your experience, I mean, that's earned, but or getting a job because you check off a box through DEI, I don't know, but I don't want my pilot to have earned his job or my surgeon. I got this job. I graduated, 110th in my class out of 150, but they had to hire me because, I checked off some boxes on them. I mean, is that what we resorted to?
Yeah, that's what they're after. Yes. The Democrats have this worldview that people should not be judged as individuals and judged on their merit, like you and I might agree. They believe that, we're just cogs in a machine. Oh, we're missing a Hispanic female. We better go get one. As if that all Hispanic females are the same, or that, the fact that we have a diverse panel of people working in any particular industry or operation is the solution. And it's just not. We ought to recognize the people based on their merits and, put these superficial things aside. It just kills me. I mean, that's the great debate today, between the left and right is whether or not we're going to continue, judging people based on superficial qualities. I asked them during the committee meeting, I said, since we're making all these decisions about, race, which is just or ethnicity or skin color, I'm like, well, why don't we do it based on shoe size or eye color? I mean, since it's just as important and just as unimportant is the point of that.
Last time you were with us, we were talking about Wanda, the Bridgeport ballot stuffer. Any update on that?
No update. And that's the problem. Gary, the issue I have is that the Democrats are sweeping this under the rug. And they have been ever since it's happened. That video's been out for a year now. And, we've had numerous debates and votes at the state capitol on the subject. And I continue to offer amendments to tighten up our elections. And the Democrats vote them down, or they crush them in other ways. They have the power to prevent things from even being heard in a lot of cases. But I suspect that they're going to pass at least one or two election-related bills through the Senate in the next 9 days. And you can be sure that I will be there ready with my armed with my amendments to challenge them once again to, put in, voter ID and other, penalties for people that engage in election fraud, the elimination of the unsolicited mailing of those ballots and so forth. Everything that we need to do effectively to tighten up our election so that the people that we represent can count on the fact that the election is legitimate.
All right. So you're saying there's no real election reform policy changes that are going to be made this session, right?
No, there's nothing happening. I mean, they have election reform bills, but they are pointless. They don't have any substance whatsoever. The only substance is going to come from the amendments that I offer on behalf of the Senate Republican Caucus. That's what's going to matter. And stay tuned to see how they vote. I can almost predict it.
So Democrats, they don't care, it sounds like. No.
That's every indication tells me that they don't care. And, I don't want to jump the gun because I'm going to give them one more chance this session to do the right thing. And I'm going to put as much pressure as I possibly can on that happening. And in fact, I'll probably I'll make a point of giving you a heads up the second I hear about this vote, because I want the people of Connecticut paying attention. I really, really want the people of Connecticut paying attention to whether the Democrats vote to shore up our elections or not. And I really want some pressure on the press, too, because the press has failed to really hold the Democrats accountable on this subject, and they should.
Good. Yeah, give me a tip me off on that. Open borders truly impacts Connecticut taxpayers. I say this over and over. You don't need to be a border state because they're coming here. Talk about that. Maybe articulate, because I talk about this often, and sometimes people get it and sometimes people don't. But I think if they hear it directly from you, Senator, it'll resonate better.
Yeah, Gary, I'm so glad you asked me about that, because it's something that I've been talking about, you know, ever since I got there. I think, you know, shortly after I was first elected is when they passed the law for drive-only licenses, which is the driver's licenses that we offer to illegal aliens. So you're not even supposed to be in the country at all. And yet here we are. We're going to give you a driver's license, and protect you and shield you from the federal immigration authorities. And that's just, icing on the cake, because you come to find out after you do a little research that, illegal aliens are eligible for basically every state benefit that there is. There's no questions asked. You know, we have a don't ask, don't tell policy. So they're getting all the same benefits from, Section 8 housing to, various types of heating assistance. Health care, as you know, is something they keep debating in the legislature and expanding. So effectively, Connecticut has a flashing neon sign that says, once you cross that border, come to Connecticut, because, we're handing out all the best stuff here. And the Democrats obviously know this. They're doing it purposefully. And I want to draw attention to it because I think it's, a part of the affordability problem in the state of Connecticut. Obviously, all of those benefits don't, come for free, where they're coming from us, taxpayers. And there's also an element of the crime issue. And of course, I don't want to be, completely down on every person based on their immigration status. Although I think that, it's wrong. It is a crime, and you ought to come to this country the correct way. Mm-hmm. And I certainly think we should honor people that come to America to be part of our great fabric and our culture, but do it the proper and honest way. But the issue is really about criminal aliens, people that actually have criminal records and are a danger to our society. The Democrats in Connecticut have actually passed numerous policies that shield them from federal immigration authorities, and I think that's a real problem. And
what purpose does that serve?
I keep talking about this, and nobody else in the legislature wants to. It kills me. I put in bills every year on this subject. They never get a hearing. I've written numerous op-eds, and I view it's going to be the biggest issue this coming November in the national election. And I think it's an opportunity for us here in Connecticut to draw attention to it also.
What are they? I got to take a break here. Just really quickly, what are they trying to prove by not prosecuting or deporting these illegal aliens here who commit these heinous crimes? Why are the Democrats protecting them? What's the reason that they're giving? Because I can't wrap my head around it. Really quick, because I got to take a short break.
I mean, honestly, your guess is as good as mine, but I'll think about it over the break.
All right, and I want to talk bad bills when we come back, too. More with State Senator Rob Sampson right after this.
Yankee Peddler and Pawn in East Hartford is Connecticut's premier pawn shop, paying you top dollar whether you are pawning or selling your items. It's also your first choice to find great deals on used items. Yankee Peddler and Pawn has everything from gold and silver jewelry to electronics, power tools, some musical instruments, and so much more. With nearly 200 five-star Google reviews, customer service is always their number one priority. Go see Joe at Yankee Peddler and Pawn at 7 Pitkin Street in East Hartford and tell them Gary sent you.
At Dolan Dental Group, patients can look forward to an oral health care experience that far exceeds their expectations. Patient comfort is always a priority, and they won't rest until you're 100% satisfied with their efforts. Go online to dolandental.com to meet their dentists and to read what their present patients think. From preventative dentistry, restorative, cosmetic, implants, Invisalign, and emergency dentistry, new patients are more than welcome. Dolan Dental, Silas Dean Highway, Weathersfield, dolandental.com today.
Number one for breaking news for Rockville, Newington, and Bristol. The Talk of Connecticut. WDRC, AM 1360 and FM 103.3.
24 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. Our guest, State Senator Rob Sampson. All right, let's talk a little bit about bad bills. All right. What Why? Let's start. Well, let me ask you first. What bad bill should we be aware of most? How about the paid sick leave bill? Oof.
Yeah, paid sick days passed the House of Representatives, I think last week, Thursday, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's coming to the Senate any day now. In fact, I spent a few hours last night actually going through the bill and annotating it and making my notes and writing my questions in the margin. And you can be certain that when that comes to the Senate, I'm gonna put up quite a fight. But they want it. You know, it's quite simple. You know, the Democrats have, choices to make every day. You know, there's 9 days left. There's hundreds of bills in the hopper. They're going to have to pick and choose which ones they want. And clearly, they were willing to give up a whole day in the House to get that bill passed. So, and they know that's going to take, a whole day in the Senate, too. So that's one that they're probably going to go for. And what a terrible piece of policy. You know, we currently have this legislation, but it affects businesses with 50 or more employees. This is going to affect businesses with as little as one employee. So, you know, if you're somebody who owns a small store, a dress shop or, you know, something like that, and you hire someone to run your store for you, effectively that person, you know, paid sick days that you've got to provide for them because the state of Connecticut says so. And effectively, they could put you in a real bind if you've got no one to operate your business on a specific day. The issue I have with these things, Gary, is simply it's a taking of freedom. First off, the Democrats want to pretend that they're so charitable because they're giving away something that doesn't belong to them. You know, they're giving away benefits.
Well, that's their MO.
The employers to give. But the idea is that, you know, these things are decided between employers and employees. That's how, you know, pay should be determined. That's how benefits should be determined. And it's a negotiation. And, you know, the state may be forcing these businesses to provide these benefits, but it doesn't come for free. I can promise you that employers are going to adapt and adjust and, pass it on to consumers, or they're going to deduct a benefit somewhere else instead. But what the problem is that the employee is giving up their freedom to make their own choices, too, because they might have preferred something instead of 5 paid sick days. For example,
how can the Connecticut be open for business? How can, you know, we'll talk to Chris DiPentima next Monday, a week from today, from the CBIA. We're pro small business when that's about as anti small business as you can get. All right, but let's get to the bill prohibiting cops from making secondary stops. Oh, what a terrible bill that is, too.
Yeah, that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, well, true.
It's just another bad idea. I mean, you know, look, there's been a train of terrible legislation on criminal justice. I think everybody knows that. I think your listeners definitely have heard this before. You know, we let violent felons out of prison early. We erased criminal records. You know, we got rid of consent searches. We got rid of lots of things. We undermined police officers by taking away their qualified immunity. Obviously, you know, crime is a problem in the state. It's not going to turn around unless we elect Republicans instead of these Democrats who actually believe in law and order and the criminal justice system to protect the citizens of Connecticut. I mean, number one on the list of what your state government should be responsible for, in my opinion, is public safety. And the Democrats have shirked their duty on that.
Unemployment benefits for striking workers.
Yeah, this is madness. They've brought this bill back 3 or 4 times now. I've debated it, ad nauseum. And again, that's another bill. It's going to take them a whole day in the Senate if it comes to me. It makes no sense. I mean, in order to be eligible for unemployment in the state of Connecticut, 3 things have to happen. You have to be out of work for no fault of your own. You have to be able to work. And 3, you need to be able to and looking for work. And this bill provides unemployment compensation to people that don't meet any of those requirements because they're actively on strike. They've left their job purposefully and they have no intent on working despite the fact that they are able. And I think it's unfair and it's completely wrong. It will give unions, obviously, a stronger foothold in negotiations. And that's not our role. The state government should be trying to level the playing field in all negotiations, provide fairness and protections for everyone, and not picking sides. And sadly, that's what's going on is the Democrats pick sides, and they always pick the side of labor.
All right, last one. I only have about 30 seconds. The EV task force or the EV study bill, what's up with that? Really, really short, really quick.
It's still out there, Gary. I have no idea what the status of it is currently, but it's still out there. It could come to us at any time.
All right. Listen, I know you fight for everybody, not just your constituents in your district, Rob, but statewide. Brother, we so appreciate that. We got to get you in studio for the hour, live, taking questions. Keep up the good fight. We need you.
Thank you, my brother. I really appreciate what you do on the radio every day as well, and thank you for having me. I look forward to that in-studio opportunity.
My pleasure. All right. You got it, buddy. When we come back, it's open phones. I see two lines open. That's your cue to dial now, and you will be next.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley.